letters. I know that's greatly appreciated. I just want to give you an update on that because I know some of you have been asking me about that. So, but let's go ahead and get into 1 Kings chapter 17 this morning. 1 Kings chapter 17. We'll look at one verse, and that is verse 1. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 1. If you can stand for the reading of God's word, we'll stand. And just this one verse, and then we'll pray, and you can be seated. The Bible says in 1 Kings chapter 17, beginning in verse 1, says, "And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word." This morning, I'm going to give you a message that I've entitled, A Man Sent from God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the day you've given to us. Lord, thank you for the beautiful weather you've given to us outside. Lord, we praise you for a great day. And Father, Lord, I thank you for our service that we've already had this morning. The songs were a blessing. And Father, Lord, thank you for the special music. Lord, we pray that you will be with us today as we look into this passage, Father, and we can glean from the truths of the life of Elijah. And Lord, I pray today that if there's someone here that does not know that they're on their way to heaven, Lord, I don't know who it could be, Lord, but I know that's between you and them. Lord, today I pray that they would come to see, to know you as their Savior. Lord, help them to know for sure they're on their way to heaven. Lord, today we give this time to you. We pray that you would use it for your honor and for your glory. We ask all in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. The pages of our Bible are filled with accounts of men that seem larger than life. People like Moses, people like David, as we just finished up a series on David, people like Daniel, people like Paul, and many others, they all seem to be characters that are far above the realms of our own experiences that we may feel that we can never be like those people. However, I want to let you in a little secret this morning. Those people in the Bible, they're just that. They're people, folks. They're just people. They're just ordinary people like you and me. They weren't far above us. They are just ordinary people that God used greatly. And can I tell you that Elijah, the fellow in our text, is no different. He is a man who was used by the Lord. And when I read about the life and the ministry of Elijah, I'm amazed at the courage and his power that God gave him. Yet I'm reminded by the word of God that Elijah was a man subject to like passion as we are, as it says in James chapter 5, verse 17. Now, he was just a man who walked in humble obedience before the Lord. That's all he did. He just obeyed God. He was right with the Lord, and that's the main of his life. But this morning, I want to begin a sermon series, as we follow the life and the ministry of this man called Elijah. And I want to name this series, God's Presence, Power, and Provision in the Life of Faith. I think Elijah definitely demonstrates this life of faith. And today we're going to focus in on this verse, as we already read. And I want to talk about a man sent from God, a man sent from God. And in this message, I want us to see that God can take a nobody and he can make a somebody out of them. Can I tell you that throughout the Word of God, these people may have been known as nobodies, but God took them. And because they were faithful, because they believed in God, God made somebody out of them. They didn't get it there on their own account. They got there because God put them there. And can I tell you this morning that he's still in the business of doing that. He could still use us, and I'm very grateful that he can. But you know, God can take a life that will be totally yielded to his will and use that life for his glory. Boy, I'm grateful that God uses us. I'm grateful that he chooses to use us. But our goal this morning is to see whether or not we possess the kind of life within ourselves. If not, then I believe that we have an opportunity to get where God can use you. Amen. I believe he can. I want to look at this verse today and see a man God sent from God. Number one this morning, I want you to see Elijah was a common man. Elijah was a common man. Let's look again in verse number one. It says, "And Elijah the Tishbite." Now you think about that. The verse tells us that he's from a place called Tishbe. That's in the region around known as Gilead. Gilead was a rough, mountainous area known for its high peaks and its deep valleys. The name Gilead means raw or rugged. This tells us that Elijah was basically a backwoods man. I've known some people who grew up in the backwoods and the hills of Tennessee. And I know some people who basically would call the backwoods people. And he stepped onto the scene and began his ministry. And he had some methods. He had a message. They were pretty rough. They were pretty rugged. But because a place where he called home. But evidently, Elijah's method of dress was pretty strange as well. You think in 2 Kings chapter 1, verse number 8, he had a pretty rough apparel. I want you to go over to 2 Kings chapter 1, verse 8, just real quickly. 2 Kings chapter 1, verse number 8, he had a rough apparel about him. Let me find 2 Kings chapter number 1, verse number 8. The Bible says, "And they answered him, he was an hairy man, and girt with a girdle of leather about his loins. And he said, it is Elijah the Tishbite." By the way, these were not common clothes back then. This was not common for them. It was kind of a rough apparel. But I can tell you that he had a rough background. But I'm grateful that God still used him greatly, aren't you? And you know what? He could take people that are from rough backgrounds. Amen. He can use people. It doesn't matter the kind of background. But he was a common man. I notice his humility. We are given an interesting insight to the prophet of Elijah through the book of James. James chapter number 5, verse number 17 and 18 says, "Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit." You see, as one follows, if you look through the life of Elijah, it becomes very clear that he was a mere mortal. He's just a person. He's not above the rest. He was a man that with a fiery temper. He had a good temper problem. But he was prone to depression as well. He also suffered from loneliness due to a life of solitude in which he ministered. But the emphasis here is that the Lord is not looking for spiritual giants to use for his glory. He may not see people who are most qualified to be in the ministry. Can I tell you, I know some people that we can look at them and we could say, God can use them greatly. But can I tell you that I've seen those same people fall and they're not even in the ministry today. I could tell you that I've seen people that we can maybe look at ourselves and we can deem them. God will never use them. But can I tell you something? That God can use them and God will use them. And I've seen people who also have come from rough backgrounds and God has used them greatly. Can I tell you what that means? I'm grateful that God can use people like that. Amen. I'm grateful God can take people from seeming to be nobodies and use them to be somebodies. He could use them for the glory of God. You know, all he needs is a willing vessel, amen? He just needs somebody who says, "Here am I, Lord, use me." And he may not use you to go to a foreign mission field. He may not use you to be a pastor. He may use you to be maybe great in the ministry, but can I tell you, every part of the ministry is important. Every person in this room, you are important to God. You're important to this preacher, amen? I believe you are. Can I tell you that we need people who will teach Sunday school classes? We need people that will go out and soul win. We need people who will just sit and pray for those who will go out and soul win. I believe every single person is important in the church, amen? I believe they are. I believe everybody, God can use you in ways that you may not even know how he can use you, but he can. You know, God doesn't need the rich. He doesn't need the educated. He doesn't need the intelligent. He doesn't need the most beautiful person. He doesn't need the strongest people. You remember David? We already talked about him, obviously. We just finished the sermon series on him. God chose him, and he was a shepherd boy. He was a shepherd boy. He was keeping his father's sheep. That was probably one of the lowest of the low classes. But God used him and God elevated him to the office of a king. Can I tell you that he may not have been the most qualified, but God used him, didn't he? And can I tell you that if he can use people like David, if he can use people like Elijah, he can use you and I as well. And I'm grateful that he does and he chooses. All we have to do is, Lord, here am I, use me. Send me, as it says in Isaiah 6, verse 8. The bottom line here is this. God wants you to be surrendered to him. He wants you to be obedient to him. Now, he doesn't force to use you. He doesn't. But you know what? What a way to be used by the Lord. I can tell you, I'm living that life today. I love that I've surrendered my will over to the Lord and say, Lord, wherever you want me to be, just use me. I pray that if it be here in Zachary, Louisiana, if it were somewhere else, that I pray he uses it. But I believe God's using me here. God wants me to be here, and I've followed him here. Hey, I'm not boasting myself up, but it was a little bit uncomfortable coming to a state that I've never been to. Can I tell you that, it takes something to go over to a foreign mission field. You think Brother Schroeder thought it was easy to go over to Armenia? I don't think it was easy. But I could tell you that he had the mindset, and missionaries had the mindset, and preachers had the mindset. People, if they have the mindset of God, just use me. Can I tell you, God will use you. God will use you. But you got to be willing to. You got to be willing to be used. You say, well, and there's a lot of people that say, I will be used by the Lord, but I won't go here. You know, if you limit that, God will use you and God will put you where you don't want to be sometimes. Hey, my wife has told it to me before. I think she's told it to some people in here as well. She said, I will work anywhere. When we went at school, she said, I will work anywhere except the dish room. I do not want to wash dishes. I don't want to do that. Guess where God put her? Right there in the dish room. And lo and behold, guess who she met on the first day? Can I tell you that I never imagined going there myself? You know, I never imagined being in the dish room. But you know what? I'm very grateful I did, because I met my wife there. Don't ever tell God, I'm not going to do this. Because it might be that God just might place you there and teach you some humility. Can I tell you that I'm very grateful that God has placed me where I'm at, because even though it may not have been exactly my will, now it's turned into my will because I was following him. Can I tell you that is the best life you will ever live, folks, is walking with the Lord. Is having being in the will of God is the greatest place to ever be. And can I tell you that Elijah was just a common man. He was an ordinary man. He wasn't anything special, but he's just like us. And God used him greatly, and he can use you as well. So number one, Elijah was a common man. But number two, he was a courageous man. Elijah was a courageous man. Think about this. In verse number one, what it says, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Now think about this. This is the first time Elijah has come on the scene. And he's going to the king, King Ahab. And you remember Ahab, he was a wicked king. He didn't want anything to do with God. And Elijah went to Ahab and he said, and this is a pretty bold statement of what Elijah has. Elijah has a word from God. And he said, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which we know that will be forever, amen. And he said, before whom I stand, he said, I'm here because God has placed me here. And he said, there will not be dew, there will not be rain these years, according to my word. That's a pretty bold statement. And you know, when he went up to him, they laughed at him. they thought he was kidding. But, you know, we see later on that hey, it actually came to pass. But I see that he defied a foolish ruler. We remember the king of Israel during the time was Ahab. According to the Bible in 1 Kings chapter 16, verse 30 and 33, Ahab was the most wicked king that was ever upon the throne of Israel. Beside that, he was married to a very evil woman as well, in Jezebel. She was the daughter of the king of Zidon. This too was an offense to the Lord. And Jezebel was from a group of people who basically were Baal worshipers. They worshiped false gods, and she, along with her husband Ahab, did more than to introduce the worship of Baal to the people of Israel than any other ruling family. That's pretty wicked to bring in false gods to the nation of Israel. And this obviously produced a state of affairs in Israel where people lost all regard for the commandments of God. They started following the god of Baal, and they started following other rituals. And this is there's a man here that Elijah's coming on the scene to proclaim this and trying to show that God is still God on the throne. And can I tell you that this king... it was this king that God sent the prophet Elijah. Elijah walked right into the presence of King Ahab and delivered a message without flinching. That took some courage, folks. That took some courage to, hey, King Ahab could have put Elijah to death for this. He could have. But Elijah was courageous, and he went before him. And he told Elijah that there would be no rain or dew until he said there would be. And it took guts to do that. It took courage, but I can tell you that he had guts and he had courage. He was courageous, but he was there, and I can tell you that each of us need to have the same kind of courage. When we, you know, America today, our country is heading down the same road that Israel is going back then. We're worshiping other gods, are we not? It may not be the form of Baal, but we're worshiping money. We're worshiping other people as we're putting them on pedestals, and we're worshiping them, even though we may not be making sacrifices or doing stuff like that. But we are putting people and other things on pedestals where they should not be, folks. We're worshiping other things as God, and we're forgetting that the one true God, the one living God, is still on the throne, and we ought to be worshiping him. Can I tell you that we've turned a deaf ear to the cry of God? We have turned a deaf ear to those who that have come before us. We've lost the love for the Lord like the people of Israel did. They lost their love for God. And you know, today it's sad that even churches have lost a love for the Lord. There are people in churches, God is not even the main part of a service anymore. You know, in the churches of America today, it's all about the entertainment. It's all about what we could get out of it. It's about coming together and fellowshipping one another. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with fellowshipping with one another, but it ought not to be the main part of the service. It's not about just a preacher getting up and preaching. It's about gleaning from the truths of the Word of God and worshiping the Lord, folks. I believe we're here at Grace Baptist Church to worship God this morning. We're not here to uplift a man. We're not here to lift up ourselves. We're here to worship the Lord. Aren't you grateful what God's already done in your life today? Hey, man, if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't be here this morning. If it wasn't for what he's done in my life and how he saved my soul, I wouldn't be standing before you this morning. But I'm very grateful that God is a loving God and that he's a merciful God. I'm grateful that he could use people, and that if we allow to be used, that he will. But I tell you, it takes courage to do God's will as well. It takes courage. Because there is people today, especially in our world, there's people that are going to cuss you out, or they'll persecute you. Maybe they won't kill you, but they will. They won't do it like those days. But they will. They will make fun of you. They'll laugh at you for the God that you serve. They will. They may not laugh at you personally, but they're gonna do everything in their power to discredit the God that you serve. And you know what? They're gonna. You know, these people in the nation of Israel, King Ahab, Jezebel, they all laughed at Elijah, I believe. They laughed at him for what he said. Can you imagine the proclaim of no rain, no dew? That's like almost saying that the sun won't shine. They're basically saying that you really believe that it's not going to rain until you say so. And you know what? After days turned into months, and after months turned into years, I think they started... I don't think it was funny anymore, don't you? It wasn't funny anymore to them. But you know, Elijah, he denounced a false religion. You know, Elijah's message was that there would be no dew or rain until he said so. But there was that was a direct attack against their false religion. Because, you see, Baal was the Canaanite god of fertility. You see, he was seen in the thunderheads and in the rain that fell. That's basically what they believed. And Baal worship was usually conducted on the tops of the hills where the statue of Baal was built. Typically, Baal's shrines were staffed by priests, and worship was carried out by performing different acts in these ministers. It was just wickedness. But I tell you what, it was basically a direct attack on Baal. And you see, they were saying, you're basically going against our God. How in the world? There's no way this could happen. But as we see, when the Lord brought it to pass, it wasn't a joke anymore to them. When he made an announcement, he declared war on Baal, basically. And that took great courage, didn't it? Took courage. But, he's basically saying, my God is greater than Baal, and I'm going to prove it. God's going to prove it. God's going to shut off all the water. There's not going to rain. There's not going to be dew. And there's nothing you, or there's nothing Jezebel, and there's nothing your God Baal can do about it. That took great courage. Can you imagine the laughter at him and the mockery? It's the kind of courage that we need to see in today's age. We need to see people who are not afraid to stand up for God. Even when people will curse you, even when people will laugh at you, we need people to take a stand for God today. This kind of courage needs to stand against ridicule. This kind of courage needs to protest things like abortion and homosexual agenda. We need people to take a stand for God on the Bible. By the way, whatever's still right in the Bible is still right today, and whatever's still wrong in the Bible is still wrong today. And we need to take a stand for it. But those people's agenda, what they're coming in, they're trying to make us change ours. They're trying to come into us and saying, you need to accept us. But can I tell you, if it's in the Bible, if it says it's wrong, folks. Can I tell you that those people, those homosexuals, they're trying to come into our church and they're trying to say, you need to accept me and you need to even endorse it. Can I tell you, whatever it says in that book, I'm going to do. I'm not going to take a stand for them. I'm going to take a stand for God. Amen. It saddens me that, you know, they don't want us to push Jesus on them, but they want to push their gods on us. Their gods may not be a physical God, but it may be of the forms of their beliefs. They don't want us to push our beliefs on them, but they want to push their beliefs on us. It's sad today, but that's exactly what's going on. And we need people that will take a stand for God. Amen. We need people like Elijah who are courageous people. So Elijah was a common man. He was a courageous man. But number three, he was a committed man. He was a committed man. He had a designation. His very name tells us his testimony here. You know what Elijah means? It means my God is Jehovah. My God is Jehovah. His name tells us that he had a personal relationship with God. Can I tell you that this is the first and crucial step in becoming anything for God, is that you have to have a personal relationship with God. We were talking about in Sunday school, Levi and I, we were talking about how we're finishing up facing Goliath, David. David, we're talking about David and God, his personal relationship with God. Can I tell you that he knew God personally? He did not just know about God, he knew God. There is a difference between knowing about somebody and actually knowing somebody. There's a difference. I can know of our president, and I know of what he stands for, and I may not like it, but can I tell you that I know about him, but I don't know him personally? I've never met him. I believe he probably is what we hear about him. But can I tell you that I don't actually know him personally? Can I tell you there are people that you may know of, but you don't know personally? And you know what? There are people that know about God, but they don't know God. There are people that hear about God, but they're not saved. They don't have a personal relationship with him. Can I tell you, just knowing about God does not get you to heaven. Just knowing who God is will not give you that salvation. The way you have to is you have to know him in a personal, intimate relationship with him. You have to believe that he came and died and rose again, and you are saved. Can I tell you that you need, in order to have that relationship, you need to have it. It's not just knowing about him. I noticed that Elijah, he knew him personally. But he also, God was his dependence. You know, he walked into the presence of Ahab and Jezebel, and in the name of God, Elijah was demonstrating that his life and his ministry was totally dependent on the Lord. He was not trusting in his own ability. He wasn't trusting in anything else. All he was is trusting in God. There is a difference, by the way, and it is a great difference to lean on not only yourself, but lean on the Lord. We talked about learning to lean. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Boy, if we just had more people that would learn to lean on Jesus, we'd all have a better life, wouldn't we? I believe it would be better off for us to depend on God more. You know, where we have our theme is believe in God. Having a big year, believe in God. You know, I believe we need to believe in God more. We need to be more dependent on him. We need to strive to lean on the everlasting arms. You know, it's a secret to the success of us as Christians in this wicked world. Only when we are totally depending on the Lord can we really achieve success. You see, there is only one thing that honors God, and that's faith. Faith in God honors him. We must come to the place where we kick out all of our props and all the rest. You remember we talked about David? Remember when he went to the cave of Adullam? He had all kinds of support systems. He had his wives. He has his friends. And then God systematically removed all those props. And then he had nobody to rely on but God. And when God did that, you know, when that happened, he learned to lean on God more. Can I tell you that there may be times where God may systematically take out your crutches in your life. But can I tell you, it's because he wants you to trust in him more. And can I tell you, I'd rather trust in God than to put confidence in man, as it says in Psalm chapter 118. Can I tell you that it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man? Can I tell you, it is so much better to rely on God. I notice his devotion. The phrase in that verse in chapter 17, verse 1 says, "Before whom I stand." Elijah was standing in the presence of the king of Israel. He was standing in the presence of one of the most powerful men at the time. Yet Elijah was able to see beyond all that in the throne room. And Elijah knew that he was really standing in the presence of God. Not King Ahab. He was standing before God. He was standing on God's account and proclaiming to this wicked king of Ahab that there was this message. There was only one person in that room who he had to please, and it was God himself. By the way, when you stand before people, I believe that if there's people that are in authority, by the way, I believe you need to respect your authorities. I do think you need to. God's placed them above you, amen. But can I tell you that we need to make sure that if it's against God's word, if whatever they're saying against God's word, we need to make sure that we know who we're standing before, folks. We need to make sure who we're obeying, who we're trusting in, who we're really in the presence of. You know, we can stand before people, and I know there's people that have tried to push their agenda. They've tried to say, you've got to do this. But you know what? If it's against the Bible, I'm going to stand on God's word. I'm going to make sure that if it's against God's word, I'm going to make sure that I stand right with God. I will make anybody else mad and stay true to God. I will make sure. I'd rather be people be mad at me than God be mad at me. Amen. I'd rather it be that way. Because I can tell you that I know God, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the one that created it all. I would not want God to be angry with me. Hey, can you imagine when the nation of Israel, when God was mad at them? Can you imagine all that and what happened in there? I don't want that to happen to me. Amen. I want to be in a good relationship with God. I don't want him to be angry with me. But I tell you what, Elijah knew who he was standing before. He had to make sure that he was pleasing one person, and it was God. And I hope and pray that there are people like that today that want to make sure that they are pleasing the Lord and not just men. We got a lot of people in today's age that are people pleasers, don't we? We got people in churches that are people pleasers. We've got pastors who are people pleasers. It's sad, but what we really need to do is have pastors who are God pleasers. We need people who, and it may be that, hey, I've seen churches split over the color of the carpet before. Because the pastor was trying to please the people. Folks, he needs to just please God. We need people just to please the Lord, not to please other people. Can I tell you today, we need people that will take a stand for God. We need to be people who are committed to God. Number four this morning, Elijah was not just a common man. He was not just a courageous or a committed man, but he was a confident man as well. He was confident in the person of God. You know, note that Elijah believed that God was alive. Amen. He couldn't see God, but he believed that God was a living God. He said, "As the Lord God of Israel liveth." Most of those other folks were living like God was dead. In the nation of Israel, they were living like God was dead. Sounds like America today, doesn't it? Doesn't America sound like that God really is dead? People are living like God's not alive today. They may say, well, he was here, but he was in the tomb, and they killed him on a cross. He's in that tomb. Can I tell you this morning that he's not in that tomb anymore, folks? He's alive today, and he's sitting on the right hand of the throne of God this morning. He didn't stay in that tomb but 3 days, but then he rose again, and he's still alive today. He's still a living God. We need some people like Elijah who will stand up and say, you could live like God is dead if you want to, but I'm going to live for him because I know he's alive today. By the way, he lives in us, doesn't he? For those who are Christians, he lives within you. God is living in us. And you know what? There's some people that just want to keep that quiet. Why would we want to keep that quiet, folks? Why would we want to keep Jesus to ourselves? Did he not come to seek and to save that which was lost? Did he not come to show that he was the Messiah, that there is salvation? He came to save those people. Shouldn't we ought to go out and share those with others? Aren't you grateful somebody shared it with you? I'm grateful he shared it with me. I'm grateful somebody took the time to share it with me. Elijah's God was alive. Let me ask you, is your God alive today? What I say by that is, is there a God in your life that you're placing above God? Is that a living God? You know, a lot of times that's not a living God, isn't it? It's a thing that we place above God. And it's the Lord of our life, but it's not really the God that we serve. Can I tell you today that we need to put God where he needs to be? And that's first in our life. He needs to be the Lord of our life. He's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all, folks. You know, he trusted in the power of God as well. Go to James chapter 5 real quick. James chapter 5, we're about to be finished. James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. James chapter 5, verse 17 and 18. James 5, in verse 17 and 18, the Bible says there, Elias was a man subject like passions as we are. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. Well, that's the power of God displayed in those verses, isn't it? That wasn't because Elijah did anything. It's because God allowed it to happen. God did not allow it to rain in the nation of Israel for 3.5 years. You don't think that was an act of God? That was definitely an act of God. And then it says Elijah prayed again and the heaven rained. It's like, oh, well, Elijah did that. No, Elijah can't control the rain. He can't control that what it does. Can I tell you, it was God. It was God that did that. God answered his prayer, but he knew the power of God. It seems like the drought was Elijah's idea. Apparently, he was so upset with the sins of the people that he began to pray that it would not rain. Of course, this idea was put into the heart by the Spirit of God. And as he prayed, he received assurance that this was indeed God's will. So he went into King Ahab and he told him that it wasn't going to rain. He believed that he served a God powerful and was able to do anything. One of the tragedies of today in our modern day church is the lack of respect that we have for God. We have a lack of respect for God and for his ability. Can I tell you, the same God that did that all those years ago is the same God we serve today. And you know what? If he wanted it to happen, it could happen. He could still do the same things. He's not any less powerful than he was back then, folks. He's still just as powerful. He still could do things. And if he could do that, could I tell you that he can meet the needs in your life? No need, no anything is too big for God. There's nothing too hard for God. He could do it all. He can meet any need. He can heal any disease. He can stop anything at any place. He can cause anything to take place. He is God, and nothing is too hard for him. And so Elijah trusted in the power of God, but he also trusted in the promise of God. This man of God stood before Ahab because he received that word from God, and Elijah had enough sense to know that God told him something that was going to happen, would happen. Can I tell you, God will never, ever, ever back away from a promise. Never. And I tell you, he's never told a lie. He's never not kept a promise that he's kept in this book. He's got a good track record, amen? He's undefeated. He's never lost anything. And can I tell you that I would trust in somebody who has a good track record like that? I would definitely do. You know, man, they could promise you anything they want to, but if they don't, fall through with it, you know, we lose trust in that sometimes, don't we? But you could trust in God because he's always kept his promises. He's never failed on them. You know, today in conclusion, we are going to see that Elijah stirred up a hornet's nest when he made that announcement. Ahab, however, the point of this verse is that he stood and he did what God told him to do. I wonder if we have people today that will stand and do what God tells them to do. You know, Elijah was a man sent from God. He was sent to a wicked people to tell them a declared judgment was coming from the hand of God. He wasn't afraid to speak up. He wasn't afraid to expose the evils of his day. He was not afraid to live by faith in the God of heaven. He wasn't afraid to put his very life in the hand of God and trust that God would see him all the way through. I just wonder this morning, how many of us would be like Elijah? How many of us would do the same thing? How many of us are willing to trust God on any, come what may? How many of us would be taking our stand for God in the midst of this wicked, lost world? How many of us are going to stand against the tide when the evil of this world today? How many of us would really know God like Elijah did? We need some Elijahs in our day and age today. Elijah's God has not changed. He's never changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Where today are the Elijahs who will believe him regardless of the cost? So today I encourage you, take a stand for God. Even when it seems like we can't stand, even when it seems like everybody else is against us, would you take a stand for God today? Let's pray. Father, we thank you.